Hello everyone, this is the recording of the translation of Pascal Girard's message for Sunday the 6th of December. This year is drawing to a close because today is already the second Sunday of Advent, and to somehow get us in the mood and prepare for Christmas, today we will be dealing with the first five verses of the first chapter of the Gospel of John. Quite different from the Christmas stories we know from the Gospels of Matthew and Luke. However, this passage from the Gospel of John has a lot to do with the Christmas event. It does not say how Jesus came into this world, yet that's true. There are no shepherds, angels, inns, or wise men there. What John writes is much more abstract and profound, but it still speaks of the Creator's visit to this earth. And that's exactly what we remember and celebrate at Christmas. The Creator visited creatures, or, to put it another way, God became man. Let's read John chapter 1, verses 1 to 5, and I'm reading in the New International Version. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There you have it. The Creator is visiting the earth. I have read the first five verses of the Gospel of John that we will study today. This somewhat mysterious text allows us to the hereafter. Point number one. Before everything was created. John begins his story by looking back, a long way back. He begins to relate what already existed before the creation of the world, which is in fact beyond our imagination. In the beginning was the Word. John chapter 1 verse 1. Before anything was created that could be known to us, that Word already existed. This reminds us of the first two verses of the Old Testament. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. These are the first words of the Old Testament. But John goes back even further. At that time, nothing existed. Not even the empty and desolate land. At that time, only the Word that was with God existed. Before he creates anything, this Word of which John speaks only existed. No one can say more. He was right there. We will all have noticed immediately that there is no question of spoken or written word here. On the contrary, we immediately imagine that something unique is reported here. God, who was not created but who simply exists, just as a psalmist tries to express. Before the mountains were born, you gave birth to the earth and the world. Always and forever you are God. Psalm chapter 90, verse 2. You, God, have always existed from eternity to eternity. With you there is neither beginning nor end, as there is with us. We immediately recognize that John speaks of God. But the Word, which does not mean the same thing as the usual usage of the Word, makes his text a little mysterious to us. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. It sounds a bit confusing. Who or what does John describe with this Word? Who is the Word that was with God? Anyone who knows this first chapter of the Gospel of John already knows that John describes Jesus. So he could have written it unequivocally for us. In the beginning was Jesus. Jesus was with God. Jesus was God. And then we would have understood this verse immediately and very clearly. Jesus, the Son of God, was with the Father, God. And because Jesus is the Son of God, he is of the same nature as his Father, and therefore he himself is God. We would have understood better if John had written it that way. For us, however, this verse that we read in the Bible is understandable because we are looking at this text knowing a lot already. But the people of the ancient world wondered who this Jesus was. As you read this text, if you had lived in those days, you would have wondered what John wanted to talk about, what he wanted to write about. But the way John started his gospel made people listen. I will now explain briefly and in a somewhat simplified way why. In the Greek text, word is logos. It's almost impossible to translate logos to anything other than speech. I don't know how to translate logos so that the same associations of ideas are triggered with us as they were with the first readers. At the time, people were asking and looking for logos. And to tell you what they understood by that, I'll give you a few examples. They wondered which logos made the sea move forward, which logos made the flowers grow or other plants. The search for logos has been the search for the creative force which produces life and enables the continuation of life. Talking about logos was actually talking about the issue of creative power and ultimately the issue of the creator himself. The term logos plays an important role among the Greek gods because logos was a figure associated with the god Hermes. John could not have spoken in the world of that time in a more precise and understandable way in order to attract the attention of the public. At the beginning, there was the logos. The logos was with God and the logos was God. John said to his readers, "I am speaking to you about the creative power that has remained hidden from you until now. This creative power existed before the creation of the world and is therefore far above creation. Logos is not part of the created world. Yes, this logos is God. The word was God." And in the next sentence it becomes clear that this word is not an impersonal force. We are dealing with one person. He was in the beginning with God. John chapter 1 verse 2. The word and God are closely related. From the start, there is an interior unity between the Word and God. The connection is so close that this Word, sometimes, is God himself. As we see when John later transmits a word from Jesus, "I and the Father are one," John chapter 10, verse 30. Or, "Whoever has seen me has seen the Father," John 14, verse 9. So John said that the Logos that everyone is looking for is a person. But not only that, he is God himself who created the world. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. John chapter 1 verse 3. The stars, the earth, the sea and the lakes, the animals, the plants, the people. Everything, absolutely everything, was created through the Logos, which is God. With these assertions, John degraded the Greek and Roman conceptions of which the gods had created the world based on their mythologies and were actively involved in the preservation of creation. So what John writes is provocative for the world at that time. From the beginning, there was only one God who created the world, not only the visible world, but also the invisible world. There was nothing in the whole universe that was not created by God. This is also what Paul teaches us, who writes this to the Christians of Colossae. "For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him." Colossians 1 verse 16. If John wrote his gospel today, he would phrase his opening sentences differently. The people of the Christian West, our compatriots if you like, are not looking for creative power in the universe. They're not looking for God because they think there is scientific evidence that the world was born by accident. But to keep it simple, this view is not based on scientific evidence supported by even a simulated experiment. These are simply interpretations and we are dealing with an assumption that could be right or wrong. And also, not all scientists are ready to say that the world was born by chance. Due to their complexity, number and variety, they doubt that these organisms can appear by chance. There are no complex organisms that arise by chance. Everything has to be thought out, planned and built. So these scientists think there must be some kind of intelligence that is responsible for creating the world. Many would avoid saying that. By this intelligence, they understand a personal God, which we are convinced of because we are Christians. But in their eyes, coincidences cannot be taken seriously as a creative principle. To those people who think so, you can say the first sentence of the Gospel as follows. In the beginning, there was intelligence. Intelligence was with God, and intelligence was God. He who is intelligence was with God in the beginning, which could be equivalent to John chapter 1, verse 2. Whether these people will be convinced today, we don't have to decide, neither now nor later. But for us who know and trust Jesus, this thought can be very helpful in understanding what John is writing here. John continues his thought and writes, "In him was life." This word is not just something rigid, abstract, and alien. This word is life. Life is therefore always linked to the Word. Life is always in relationship with Jesus Christ. All life comes from Jesus, and Jesus is also the one who keeps life alive, so to speak. We owe every breath to Jesus who gives life. It doesn't matter whether we believe it or not. Paul says, "He is before all things, and in him all things hold together." Colossians 1 verse 17. It is amazing how powerfully and precisely John brought the gospel to the people of that day. Point number 2. The light of the beyond. The Logos did not stay with the Father. He set off towards humans. He saw how lost, abandoned, and confused we humans are. As we lived without hope, he wanted to bring us more life, eternal life. In him was life, and the life was the light of humans, John 1:4. He was ready to leave his Father. He was ready to visit men so they could see him and have hope. Paul once said about this choice of Jesus, "Who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage." Philippians chapter 2, verse 6. He went out to meet the people. He entered this world marked by sin, chaos, violence, and disorientation. The prophet Isaiah foretold it, saying, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light, and those living in the land of deep darkness a light has dawned." Isaiah 9, verse 2. It was a prophecy regarding Jesus' visit to this earth. Jesus is that unique light that shines from the hereafter in this world. Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, said in a prayer inspired by the Spirit of God, "Because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven, to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." Luke 1, verses 78 and 79. Jesus said of himself, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will never walk in darkness, but he will have the light of life." John 8, verse 12. This unique light is real life. Even if people try to hide from this light or even turn it off, it will still shine. This is what verse 5 of John's prologue says. "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." With the crucifixion of Jesus, they tried to extinguish this light forever. But Jesus is risen, he lives, and his light shines to this day. You can ignore or fight this light, but you cannot turn it off. Later, John writes, "This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil." John chapter 3, verse 19. But Jesus persists in his invitation. "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." John chapter 8, verse 12. Here's a last thought. We easily see the connection between Christmas and the first chapter of the Gospel of John. John explains in these few verses where Jesus came from, and he speaks of the incarnation of God. This is the central theme of Christmas, and this passage also shows us that our hope is not founded in this world. Hope comes from the hereafter, and whoever relies on Jesus has a future in eternity. This is where real life originates, and this is where it will also have its future. Jesus said, "I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand." John chapter 10, verse 28. Amen.